What's up, everybody? In today's episode, I'm going to recap all 8 games on a busy Tuesday night and talk on some interesting developments and storylines. I'm also going to give you 5 players that I believe to be must-roster players going into the back half of your season and your playoffs. These players are 50% own and under on Yahoo. You know what we got to do? We got to get the biz. This is Apples and Genos. You are listening to Cream of the Crop. Presented by Apples and Genos. I'm glad you're along here on this Wednesday. It's a beautiful day. Actually, I'm recording this on Tuesday night, so I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about, but that's fine. I'm your host, Blake Creamer. Please follow me over on Twitter/X. It's at Blake Creamer AG. Apples and Genos has a great Discord as well. The link is in the description here in the show. Click on it, you get in there. And we're approaching 1,100 fantasy managers. This is crazy stuff. So lots of awesome fantasy hockey talk in there. We're not slowing down. We're getting into crunch time. We're going to try and win you some chips. All right, so get your biscuits in there. Also, Apples and Genos has a YouTube. Please head on over there. Give us a subscribe. Thumb up the video, all that stuff. Giggity! Sounds weird. And lastly, I do have to tell you about something I've been doing for a little while here, and I'm loving it, actually. It's this app called Didit, D-I-D-I-T, all one word. You got to go download the app. I'm going to throw the link in the description as well for you to download it. You know, what you can do is hit me up over there. It's basically a one-on-one video chat, and you can share your screen. I can look at your rosters. I can talk through potential trades, waiver wire ads, whatever you need. Also, the first call is $25 off, so that's basically a free call for most people unless you really want to get into it, and then we can absolutely get to biz. But remember, your victories equal my victories, so come on, get in there and do it. I've been having a great time. I've been talking to lots of really good people and hopefully helping out, so there you go. All right, that part is out of the way. We got to get into this. I haven't done a recap episode in forever. In my previous podcast, Fantasy NHL Today, I used to do these quite a bit, and I haven't found myself doing it too much because we have we got a nice thing going here at Apples and Genos, kind of with the content that we're creating here. But there's so much value in doing a recap episode every now and then, and I thought that this would be a good place for one, just seeing as how we have some new faces and new places here after the All-Star break, and they had their first games here, so we can get into that. But there's 8 games here, and why don't we just get right into it? There's lots to talk about, so
let's do it.
Here we go. First game I want to talk about, Flames and Bruins. The Flames beat the brakes off the Bruins 4-1. I love that. Shout out to Jacob Markstrom. He hooked me up with a really nice goalie victory in a lot of my leagues. So that's excellent. And as we know, it's all about me. But what I'm going to do here, actually, before I get into these recaps, I'm basically just going to give you some interesting players, things that I thought were noteworthy from those games that could help you for fantasy. All right. So first player we want to talk about here, big game for Nazem Kadri. Actually, his whole line, Kadri, Jonathan Huberdeau, and Big Cousy. Oh, man, I got a lot of messages when Cousy scored. We'll get into that in a second. But first, let's talk about Nazem Kadri. 16 minutes time on ice, so that's fine, reasonable for Kadri, including 2 minutes on the top power play unit. Their top power play there in Calgary is currently Huberdeau, Hanifin, Kuzmenko got reps there, and Yegor Sharangovich. So that's excellent. But let's take a look at what Kadri was able to do in this game. He did get 3 assists, so that's excellent. 5 shots on goal, 8 shot attempts, and 6 individual scoring chances for, and then 2 high danger chances for. That's a monster game for Kadri. And he's really kind of been playing well lately. 5 assists in his last 5 games. He's on a 69-point pace.
Nice.
Love that. And then, the metrics on the season, very nice. 34th overall in shots on goal per 60, 29th in individual Corsi 4, 46 in individual scoring chances 4. So that's excellent. And he's a little low on a 9.8 shooting percentage. So I think that has some room to go up. And 10.8 on ice shooting percentage, that has some room to go up. So I'm buying on Nazem Kadri. I think he's looking really good as of late. And then yeah, this game right here, love that 3 assists, very nice. We got to talk about Big Cousy as well. Scored in his debut. You love that, and it was early on too. So Kuzmenko played on the top power play unit, and like I said, even strength with Huberdeau and Kadri, and they looked pretty good, you know. So of course Cousy, you know, got a goal there, but you know, scored on his only shot, had 2 shot attempts and 2 individual scoring chances for. So that's classic Cousy there. So definitely temper expectations here on Andrei Kuzmenko. I mean, he's still the same player he was in Vancouver, but the big issue in Vancouver is he was getting no ice time, right? In this game here, like I said, 15 minutes, that'll do. You know, I really think that'll do. And Kuzmenko should, he's a spec ad right now. Like, you know, he's basically a streamer with benefits, but I want to see what happens here. But this certainly doesn't hurt, right? Get a goal in your first game, get going. You're on the top power play. I mean, in the last 5 games, he's got 3 points, you know, obviously got the goal here tonight. He's 9th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 for 60 in those games too. I mean, you know, 4 of those games were with the Canucks, so take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, really nice, nice little game here for Kuzmenko. He definitely landed on his feet, and I think they want to see what kind of player they have here. So I think there's a world in where his ice time goes up. But like I said, 15 minutes for Cousy, I think that is enough for us to get some decent value out of this player. So there you go. Shout out to Big Cousy, one of the best heads of hair in the biz. What is this man doing? He wakes up, right? He sees his hair, and then he just walks out the door. He doesn't do a damn thing, and I ain't hating it. All right, this guy's got hair all over the place. It looks like he stuck his finger in an electrical socket. And he's a legend. I love Cousy. I hate to see him out of Vancouver, but I mean, you know, we'll talk about his replacement in a little bit here, but the trade was a win-win for both teams, I think. And Cousy looked good. So anyways, shout out to Cousy. Got to talk about Blake the Snake Coleman. Didn't do much this game, but did lead all 4s in ice time. So he's still a full go for me. I mean, Blake Coleman's been awesome this year. Like I talked about him with Nate on our mailbag show. Like this guy was a streamer initially, and now I'm holding him, you know, until the wheels fall off. Basically, this guy's been great, but he's overachieving, right? So don't get too high on Blake Coleman, but I'm still holding for now, you know, especially with that deployment. And then Noah Hanifin, he's got that top power play right now in Calgary, and I think he should be owned while he has it, right? He did get a goal in the power play, 3 shots, 8 shot attempts, and 1 scoring chance for. So that's a nice little game for Noah Hanifin. I think obviously Rasmus Anderson, that's the player we probably wanted to get that deployment, but he's just not getting it. Uyghurs had top power play at times this year, but Hanifin right now, I think, is probably the guy to be owned if you're going to go with a Calgary defenseman. All right. Well, Uyghur too, obviously. All those players too, obviously. I'm not saying you shouldn't own those players, but Hanifin's going to get the best opportunity. Over to the Bruins, they couldn't really get much going this game, so I wouldn't read too much into any one performance. There's not too much to take here, but we do got to talk about the Coiler.
Poop again!
Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha. These guys are the players to watch. They're the ones I'm interested in. They both got points. Coyle got an assist. Zacha got a goal, a nice one-timer, but both had somewhat empty stat lines otherwise. You know, plus the Bruins were all over the shop with their power play deployment, and these two guys ended up with around the same amount of power play time on ice. Both guys were great on the faceoff, so that's nice if your league has that. And Coyle got a little bit more time on ice. He had just over 18 to Zacha's 17. If I had to choose, it's the Coiler all day. Zacha is definitely a reasonable stream as well, though. Coyle's still doing the thing. He's still going at a 71-point pace, but the shots have fallen off big time. You know, in the last 5 games, he's 264th in shots and goal per 60, 335th in shot attempts per 60, and then 274th in individual scoring chances for per 60. That show ain't no good, all right? Yet, he's cooking at 88% IPP and 25% shooting percentage with an ungodly on-ice shooting percentage of 22.2%. I don't think that's going to stick, Charlie Coyle. So yeah, just take it with a grain of salt, right? But if I had to choose, I'd choose Charlie Coyle there. They're both getting top 6 deployment, and they're both, you know, can put up some empty stat lines like this. So if he does continue to not shoot like this, though, it's going to be hard for me to justify holding on to the Coiler. All right. Let's move on to the next game, the Sabres against the Stars. And the Stars took this one 2-1, but really it was the Buffalo Sabres tilting the ice in this one, but they couldn't get the job done. They couldn't get it past Jake Oettinger. He was electric. Oh my God. What a tendy. You're sucking on my tendies. But let's dig in to the Sabres first. Just a couple players of interest here. Rasmus Dahlin doing Dahlin things. This guy, you know, played 29 minutes time on ice. He had an assist, but how about 8 shots on goal? 15 shot attempts, 6 scoring chances, 4, and then 1 high danger chance, 4. This is a defenseman, folks. Like, those are elite numbers for a forward, and this guy's doing it from the back end. Giggity. All right, so, you know, I'm just drawing attention to Rasmus Dahlin. This guy's amazing. You know, this is clearly, these type of performances are why you drafted him, you know, in your second and third rounds. He should be going off the board real early. So, shout out to RD. Then we got to talk about Mr. Thompson.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
Big Tage. All right, he did have a nice game, but damn, the time on ice. Like, Mr. Granato, what? Can you please explain to me what you're doing? You just 16 minutes in this game for Tage, and you know, it was a game that was close, so I don't understand it. Can someone explain it to me so it makes sense? Like, this guy has the potential to be an elite player in the league. Nate and I talked about him again in our last episode. I don't understand, but it is nice that he got a goal. You know, in terms of just this game, the underlying metrics, 6 shots on goal, 9 attempts, 5 scoring chances, 4, and 1 high danger chance. That was Tage's game. And yeah, he's getting 60 minutes time on ice while Casey Mittelstadt's getting 19. I don't understand. And I like Casey Mittelstadt, but damn, put Tage out on the ice, give him that 20-minute treatment. Let's go down with the ship, folks. Like, Tage is an elite player, and he needs to be treated as such, so it's pissing me off. Over to Dylan Cousins.
You son of a bitch.
This guy's a player of interest and has been at points during the season, but right now he's really cooking. Like, look at this game that he had here tonight. 20 minutes time on ice, just over. He had 8 shots on goal, 13 attempts, 9 scoring chances, 4 high danger chances. Bang. That's excellent. That's a big game. Didn't have anything to show for it, so that sucks. And he's still on power play too. But the fact that he generated all this at even strength, plus just the insane deployment he had, like I said, over 20 minutes, he was prioritized. His line was prioritized over the big line here. You know, so let's take a look at what Cousins has been able to do the last 5 games. 7 points, 3 goals, 4 assists. I love that. Just under 17 minutes average time on ice, so that'll do. But check these metrics, folks. 8th in the league in shots on goal per 60 in the last 5 games, 24th overall in shot attempts per 60, and 23rd overall in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. Love that. He's worked his way up to a 51-point pace, which, you know, is off of what he had last season. And he's kind of on a heater now, though. And I think that if you look at his season numbers, shooting percentage 8.1, that's going to go up. On-ice shooting percentage 8.5, that's going to go up. So there's definitely some positive regression coming Dylan Cousins' way. And if he's going to get this kind of deployment, we got to be in on this player for sure. This is a great target, too, for people looking to get a jump on playoffs. Nate and I talked about this. The Buffalo Sabres have a great schedule. He's only 51% owned, and to me, Dylan Cousins, must roster player at this point. So definitely kick out some trades for him. You might be able to get something done, but I love what I'm seeing out of this kid. Nice work. All right, over to the Stars. We got to talk about Matt Duchene. We still got to talk about him. Damn. Oh, God. Someone in our Discord made a funny comment saying, like, that they were looking forward to hearing all the people talking about Matt Duchene eventually going to fall off. And I just said, I'm never going to stop. All right. But this is going to fall off. But damn it. Would it be nice to have, you know, Duchene on your roster while he's popping off like this for this sweet production? Let's dig in again on Duchene. Was it Duchene? Absolutely, it was Duchene. He's doing it. He's been doing it all year. Bizarre stuff. But last 5 games, Matt Duchene, 3 goals, 2 assists for 5 points, 16 minutes average time on ice. You know, the metrics are decent. 115th in shots on goal per 60, 130th in shot attempts, and then 111th in individual scoring chances for all reasonable stuff, right? But 83% IPP, no. 27.3% shooting percentage over the last 5 games. No. Okay, damn, you're not going to do this. But, I mean, 17% on the year. You know, I did dig in on to this man, or dig in on this man recently. And, yeah, he's a high, he's a high percentage converter. So 17 is kind of at his ceiling, but it might be sustainable. And don't look now, folks, but this guy was getting, like, first off, he got over 3 minutes power play time on ice in this game here as the stars spread around the deployment. And if that's something that sticks, I think that Duchesne's 77 point pace doesn't seem so crazy to me. Seems a little bit more realistic. Like, I don't know. I hate to say it because I've been, you know, just talking a bunch of yang on this man all season, but what a great signing for the Stars. This has really worked out. I feel like the Stars are prioritizing Duchesne's line more than they are the first line here at times. So that's an interesting development. But yeah, keep rolling with Duchesne. This guy's he's on fuego. All right, that's Spanish. Let's move over to Wyatt Johnston. All right, this guy's still in the top line, and that's enough for me to keep this guy in my sights. 19 minutes Johnston played in this game here with Robertson and Rupe Hintz. Didn't get anything to show for it, but he's getting lots of opportunity. You got to ride with him. All right, we'll talk a little bit later on Wyatt Johnston, but yep, got to have this player on your roster currently. And then Thomas Harley, still getting Buku minutes and power play two deployment. You know, that I think he's a must roster player too at this point. Like, digging into Thomas Harley, this guy's got 6 points in his last five, and amongst defensemen, 15th overall in the league in shots on goal, 20th overall in shot attempts, and 21st overall in individual scoring chances for. So he's on a 51-point pace, people. He's got 12 goals. Damn, he's on a 21-goal pace. This is crazy stuff. So I really like the player. He's playing with Heiskanen, so that's going to keep his floor up. We've talked on Harley a little bit. I just wanted to shout out that he's still doing the thing. Harley's still looking good out there, so we ride. All right, let's move on to the next game, Canucks and Canes. Yeah, Canucks are just in a somewhat low event game. Canucks pull it out again, even though they only had 19 shots on goal all game, including just 7 in the final two periods. I don't understand. It's the PDO bender continues for the Vancouver Canucks. Demko was great. They scored on the power play. They did what they needed to do. That's been the recipe for their success all season. We got to talk about the new addition, Elias Lindholm. What a showing. This is excellent. 2 goals, both on the power play. And, you know, if this is any indication, this man is likely to eat. If he holds that deployment, which he absolutely should, I don't see who's going to bump him off that. 21 minutes time on ice as well in his first game. So this guy's a full go. We're going full steam ahead on Lindholm. If you had this man and you were holding through his down season, like, here's your reward, everyone. I think that, you know, it's one game, so let's manage expectations, but I love the deployment. I love the spot on the power play, and he just fits right into the Canucks, you know, with their crazy high shooting percentage. So hopefully you have this guy rostered somewhere, but I'm very high on Lindholm moving forward. I think this is a great move for the Canucks, and hopefully everybody stays healthy. God, fingers crossed. With the rise of Elias Lindholm, we got to talk about the fall of the young Pope. Pia Suter. Yeah. Your Suter streams are likely dead in the water. This sucks because I picked them up in 2 spots. I loved what I was seeing, and it would have been a great, great stream had they not traded for Elias Lindholm. So, you know, with Suter, definitely hold them for the week because Canucks still have 3 games left, but then you can punt them. No questions asked. There's not much else to talk about for the Canucks, so let's move on to the Canes side. And, you know, just as I say that, there's nothing much on the Canes side either. Honestly, Teravainen, are we talking about Toivo Teravainen? Yeah, I guess so. He had a modest scoring streak going on here. 5 points in his last 4 games. He's on the top line with Aho and the top power play unit as well. And, you know, that's been a recipe for success for him historically. I think as well, the season that he had last year, you know, some positive regression was coming his way this season, even if he just got a mild increase in ice time, and he has. But he's currently shooting above his weight class, right? It's gone, you know, too far the other way. He's shooting 17% right now. This guy's a career 10% shooter. He's great on the power play, and just a player to watch when Carolina has a good schedule, or if you want to stream in a Carolina player, this guy could be a useful stream rest of the season. To be honest, I'd rather take Teravainen and then the Bunt Cake. Maybe that's a mildly spicy take, but damn, get the Bunt Cake out of my sight. I want Teravainen.
I want Iguodala.
Okay, let's move on to the next game, Panthers and the Flyers. Oh, God. When the Panthers lose 2-1 like they did to the Flyers here, that really crushes me in fantasy because I have so many Panthers on my team. And then, you know, of course, Verhaeghe got the only goal, but it was unassisted on the power play. Like, you know, these guys don't care about my fantasy hockey team. It's really, really apparent to me. You know, it's taken me a little while to figure this out, but I think I'm on board. Guys don't give a damn about what's going on with me, but that's fine. Anywho, four-game win streak snapped for the Panthers. Flyers looked good. Ersson looked good, the goalie for the Flyers. Panthers also couldn't hit the net to save their lives. In the third period, they had 25 shot attempts, and they were only credited with 3 shots. That's shocking. That's brutal. Boys, put the biscuit in the basket. What are we doing? You know, we're talking Panthers. We got to talk about everybody's favorite, Brandon Montour. Definitely a rough game here. I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat that. And these type of games, like the one that Montour had here, these are the ones that get people messaging me like, I want to drop this guy. Get this man out of my sight. And I get it. I absolutely get it. This was a very bad game statistically. Montour did basically nothing. And you know what? If he puts a bunch of these games together, then maybe we can talk about moving on. But I got to keep going back to the metrics and the positive regression that is coming this man's way. It's insane. You know, on the season, this guy's on a 26-point pace. That's god-awful. But the numbers, people. Amongst defensemen, 21st overall in shots on goal per 60, 6th overall in shot attempts per 60, and 9th overall in scoring chances 4 per 60. And then the on-ice numbers are crazy, too. He's 3rd overall in Corsi 4 per 60, 6th overall in scoring chances 4 per 60. What the problem is, the 22% IPP. God dang. Like, this is a guy who should be pushing 40, right? He's at 22. Also, 2.4% shooting percentage. That's just ridiculous. You know, if you look at his season last season, That's good podcasting right there. You know, he got 6.6% shooting percentage. He's at 2.4 this year, right? This guy's, he's 6.1% career shooter. So it's going to regress up, folks. He's the quarterback of the top power play. That power play is lethal. You know, they're figuring it out. But when it happens, I think, you know, points are going to come in bunches. I'm still not concerned about Montour, but yes, this definitely sucks. I have him in 3 spots. It sucks for me too. I'm right with you all. It's very painful. Let's move on. Matt Tkachuk and Sammy Reinhart.
It's called Sex Panther.
Non-factors. All right, yeah. I mean, Tkachuk especially was a non-factor today, and that's fine. Just chalk it up to a bad game. Reinhart was able to generate some shot attempts and chances, but he wasn't even credited with a shot. So, you know, take this as for what it is. It's a one-off, right? Don't worry about this one. I do want to talk about Sam Bennett, though. He is a bit of a bubble player. And, you know, now that he's off power play 1, games like this are a cause for concern, right? Like, I think we need to give him a couple more games to get going. But if you look at this game, 16 minutes time on ice playing with Verhaeghe and Tkachuk, right? But 0 shots on goal, just 2 shot attempts and 2 scoring chances. So that's not good, right? I mean, obviously in a category league, Sam Bennett to me is must roster, should be on a roster, no question. But in a points league, yeah, it gets a little dicey when he's putting up kind of donuts or really stinky non-event games like this. So just something to keep an eye on. Sam Bennett is not a must hold at all costs, especially in points leagues. All right, let's move on. Got to talk about the Philadelphia Flyers. They keep rolling against all odds. Oh, God. John Tortorella. All right, that Jack Adams, you know, runner-up, all right, to that beauty, Richard Tocchet, all right, as we all know. But Torts really spread the time on ice around this game here. Travis Konechny, Konech 4, was the only player who got over 20 minutes in this one. Really weird stuff. And obviously that sucks for fantasy. And you know what? Torts, to me, seems like the type of guy who would do that. He would do that to purposely piss off fantasy managers. I think he's got it in for us, folks. And I ain't hating it, all right? Torts, you do you, buddy. All right. Beautiful goatee and a jawline. Unbelievable on this man. Right. We got to talk about some Flyers players. There's really not too much to talk about here, especially in this game. Owen Tippett. Simple stuff. This guy's must own. Must roster player. 63%. That's not high enough. He needs to be in on more teams here. Make sure he isn't on your wire. He's top line, top power play. He's a shot monster, and he's a beefer as well. So if you got any kind of banger waiting, or you're playing in a category league, this guy's obviously rostered. So there you go. Just making sure he's not out there. And then the power play quarterbacks for this god-awful power play that Philadelphia is rostering, they're basically all just eating each other's value. And I hate stuff like this for fantasy. You're looking at Cam York, Igor Zamula, and Jamie Drysdale. While they're being deployed like this, they're all schedule streams at this point until they get consistent deployment, right? They're all getting some power play time, but none of them got over 20 minutes in this game here. It's not enough. It's certainly not enough for these players, even if they do get power play one. Like, we got to see some deployment here. So I'm out on all those players until they start getting better deployment. All right, let's move on. Got to talk about the Colorado Avalanche and the Devils. The Devils pumped the Colorado Avalanche 5-3. Definitely a hard-fought game, and, you know, unfortunate for rookie Justice Annanen, I think is how you say his name. I don't know. Someone correct me on that if I am wrong. He's taking the L there. But, yeah, looking at Colorado, like, their big guns did their thing, right? These guys are elite. Makar and Rantanen both got goals. Drouin, who is not elite, did get 20 minutes in this one, though, so that's nice. He popped for two empty assists, as he does. But I'm more interested in Arturi Lehkonen. All right, this man, in the third period, he was bumped up to the top line with Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. That is plum deployment, people. All right, this is what we want. It's what we've been waiting for. So keep an eye on Game Day Lines. Shout out to Game Day Lines, by the way, on Twitter. But let's see where Lehkonen lines up for the next game. They got three more games this week. This guy should be on a roster. No questions asked. Lehkonen played the most minutes he has since coming back off injury, I think just under 18 minutes. And I think you all know how I feel about this player. I loved him last season. I think that it's just a matter of time until he takes back line one, power play one permanently. He should be owned this week, as I said, for the schedule, but I think he's going to turn out to be a rest of season hold. In this game here, he didn't do too much with the time on ice, but let's keep an eye on him moving forward. This is a guy, I think you take a swing at a player like Arturi Lehkonen, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But historically, they have leaned into this player. He's got big minutes with Jared Bednar, so he has history with the coach. Last season, he played well over 20 minutes average time on ice, and he got 20 power play points. So I think that is absolutely doable again. Maybe he doesn't get up to 20 minutes or 20 power play points, obviously, this season. But I'm just a big fan of the player, and he's coming back off of a, you know, pretty brutal neck injury. So it's going to take a little while for him to get up to speed. New addition, Zach Parise as well. He's basically a non-factor there for this game. He only had 11 minutes in his second game with the team. We're leaving this guy on the wire. We're not interested. He seems like he's an insurance policy, basically. Depth player, you know, if one of the top six go down to injury. So don't worry about Zach Parise. I've seen him being added in a bunch of spots. And, I mean, if you did add him, hold him for the week, but then you can get the hell off him. Okay. Let's talk about the Devils.
We're the Devils! The Devils!
And when we're talking about the Devils, we got to talk about that young buck, that young blood, Luke Hughes. He led the team in time on ice and also led them in not accumulating a damn thing. Okay, 24 minutes, Luke Hughes, two shot attempts and one block. That's what we got out of Luke Hughes here. And, oh God, this is getting insanely frustrating, right? Luke Hughes is getting all the opportunities in the world, and he's very talented. He's clearly very talented. I think our expectations are probably too high of Luke Hughes, and that's the problem because of his family, obviously, right? But the fact that, you know, his first full season in the league, he bumps Dougie Hamilton. Off the top power play. So, you know, Lindy Ruff, does he know something we don't? Like, we had an elite power play performer and shot producer from the back end and goal scorer from the back end in Dougie Hamilton, and he's going with Luke Hughes on the top power play. So I just think this season too, it might be too much for him at this point in his career. And you know, we all forget he's only 20 years old. This guy's going to be a stud. There's no question. Like, the fact that he's able to take on this amount of responsibility and do what he's doing, this amount of ice time, it's great, right? Like, I'm a big fan of the player, but I think for fantasy purposes, it could be time to cut bait if needed, right? Luke Hughes to me is not a must-hold player at this point, even though he runs that power play. That said, I'd probably hold until after Jack Hughes comes back and plays for a little bit just to make sure. But, you know, sheesh, this is freaking painful. I do want to see what happens when Jack Hughes gets back and see, you know, if that power play starts going again. Because that's just, like, Jack Hughes is that type of player. He can really drag the rest of the team up with him the way he plays. So I'm holding until I see that. But if you wanted to cut bait on Luke Hughes, I wouldn't blame you. All right. And then we got to talk about Timo Meier finding Timo. I think we found him. Yeah, it turns out he was on the second line and second power play the whole time. Yeah, pretty expensive contract for a guy like that. That said, he picked up an assist tonight, a second assist. So thank you for your service, Timo. Just over 15 minutes time on ice. I don't like that. Two shots on goal, six attempts, two scoring chances for. That's not going to cut it. Ah, it's really rough. I mean, what can you do? I think like we're getting to a point with Timo Meier where if you need to drop him, you probably could. Even when Jack Hughes gets back, like I'm not convinced that he's going to get any time or any access to Jack Hughes. He might toil away on the second power play for the rest of the season, right? He could be playing through an injury, which sounded like he was at the early part of the year. And it just might be a situation like that where he's not exactly healthy. I don't know. Whatever it is, Timo Meier has been a huge disappointment for fantasy. I'm sure just in real life too, for Devils fans, like he hasn't really popped the way that we all thought he might. So, you know, see what you want to do there with Timo Meier. I've got him in two teams. I'm holding for now. All right, over to the next game. It's the Pittsburgh Penguins shutting out the Winnipeg Jets 3-0. Of course they did. Because Tristan Jarry, he's on my opponent's team in Kekupfel. So, yeah, he's just really pissing me off. Tristan Jarry does this to me. When I have him, he stinks. And when I play against him, he's awesome. So there you go. he looked great. He actually did. He looked great all game. He was dialed in. You know, Alex Nedeljkovic, he got a look this season, but this is Tristan Jarry's crease for better or for worse, right? And I honestly think that Pittsburgh will be there in the playoffs in the end, you know, fighting for that spot. I think they're just too good to not make it, right? Their power play has been god-awful this year, and I do feel that that's going to get better. Someone who had a really massive game here, Brian Rust, played over 20 minutes in this one. He did get a goal. Also, you know, 2.5 minutes on the top power play unit, but look at these metrics, like 4 shots on goal, 8 attempts, 5 scoring chances, 3 high danger chances. That's a really nice game for Brian Rust. This guy is still on the wire. He's 41% rostered. What the hell are we doing, folks? This guy's must add. You got to add Brian Rust. All right. We can't be leaving this man on the wire with this kind of deployment. And honestly, he's been doing it for a hot minute. Like, let's dig into Brian Rust. Last 5 games, he's averaging over 21 minutes time on ice. 3 points in the last 5 games, that's okay. 89th overall in shots on goal per 60, 35th overall in attempts, and 15th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. That's excellent, right? And the numbers are similar on the season. In fact, they're marginally better. He's on a 68-point pace, 41% rostered. Brian Rust, I mean, yeah, it's if he's out there, the time is now. You got to add this guy into your team, all right? So really nice game for Brian Rust. Nice win for the Penguins. I did want to mention Jesse Puljujarvi as well. He did sign a 2-year contract with the Penguins. He's going to be a non-factor as well. He played under 10 minutes in his first game. If you added him, you can promptly punt him to the stars, all right? Get that cabbage! Yeah, we don't need that. Let's move over to the Jets. And we got to talk about Kyle Connor.
Sarah Connor?
Yes.
This guy might be the biggest buy low out there right now. You know, played 19 minutes, 39 seconds, 6 shots on goal, 11 attempts, and 6 scoring chances for, including 1 high danger chance. 0 points, right? Production is going to come. We got to be patient with Kyle Connor, though. Nice to see Mark Scheifele back. He didn't do too much this game either, but, you know, Kyle Connor's going to be a staple there. Top line, top power play, no worries whatsoever. You know, Nate and I did talk a little bit on the Winnipeg Jets not having a great playoff schedule from weeks 23 all the way to weeks 26, right? So, if you're going to get Kyle Connor, like, yeah, just be wary of that. It's not a terrible schedule. They actually have games played, so you'll at least be able to get him into games, but they don't play very many off nights. So that's the issue with Winnipeg in those times there. But I mean, you're getting this guy has 50 goal upside, Kyle Connor, right? It's his assists that have really gone down, but I'm not too concerned. Got to talk about Sean Monahan as well, his first game with the Winnipeg Jets. And we also got to pour some water on that molten lava. That was the hype surrounding Monahan's trade over to Winnipeg. Yeah, I mean, this guy's going to be valuable on the ice for sure. It's a great trade in real life, but I expect he's not going to be so valuable in fantasy. I did predict that, his value is going to drop off. And this has only been one game, so we're not going to count our chickens before they hatch. And he did start out on the top power play unit, but Nikolaj Ehlers took some reps there as well, right? So I think Ehlers, Perfetti, Monahan, these guys are going to eat into each other's value a lot, as I think power play one is needed for these guys to pop, right? And as it is right now, I'd take Ehlers and Perfetti over Sean Monahan at this point, unless he's absolutely secured the role on the top power play. I mean, in 15 minutes tonight, just over 15 minutes, he had a shot on goal, two attempts, and a scoring chance. So that's not great, right? And just in terms of fantasy, that's not really what we're looking for. So it's not going to be your league winner, folks, Sean Monahan. But, it's a nice trade in real life. Okay, next game up, we got to talk about the Washington Capitals and the Montreal Canadiens. The Capitals have that great schedule this week, so I'm really hoping that they can kind of put a little streak together. The score was 5-2, but the Caps got unlucky here, and Lindgren had a bad outing. He was down 3-0, he got pulled, they brought Darcy Kemper in. But the Capitals owned play in the final two periods here against the Canadiens. They just couldn't get it done. But the good news, folks, Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah.
He got a goal. He's got a two-game goal streak here, and I'm loving life, all right? Again, just massive deployment, over 20 minutes, 6 shots on goal, 10 attempts, 1 scoring chance, 1 high danger chance for. So he's chucking pucks, as we say here at Apples and Genos. That's what we need. That's all we need. That's all I want from Ovechkin. Just chuck pucks, go get on a 30 goal pace, a 60 point pace. I don't care, right? If he does that, I'm still loving Ovechkin because he does other things, obviously. But he looked good out there. This is a nice first game back. I wish they could have got the win. But other players that stood out to me on the Capitals, Dylan Strome and Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Strome, what a game this man had. Played 22 minutes. They're trying to get back in the game here. He had 2 assists to go with 8 shots, 13 shot attempts, 6 chances, and 5 high danger chances. Bang! Dylan Strome popping the hell off. I am loving that. So Dylan Strome is a must-add player for this week for sure. This guy's only 25% rostered. So if he's out there, go grab Dylan Strome for your last 3 games. This is a no-brainer. He should definitely be on the roster here. He's getting good deployment. So, and let's talk about Trevor Van Riemsdyk. He played 20 minutes and went off for 7 shots on goal, including 10 attempts, right? Didn't get anything done points-wise, but that's not nothing. Like I said about the schedule, you could still add a Capitals player. They have 3 more games this week, and you're probably more likely to get a guy like Trevor Van Riemsdyk in as opposed to Dylan Strome just because of the way your rosters are, right? So take a look. I had to double check this, but, in the last 3 games, just under 20 minutes time on ice, only 1 assist, but he's first overall in the league in shots on goal per 60 amongst defensemen, and 9th overall in shot attempts per 60 amongst defensemen, right? That's Trevor Van Riemsdyk, folks. It's, you got to take that with a grain of salt, right? That's aided by one of those 3 games was a 15-minute game, and then he had a 7 shot on goal game this one here. So kind of skews the numbers a little bit, but, it helps me make my point, right? So there you go. I think you could add Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and it's not the biggest whiff in the world, right? Especially in a deeper league. Okay, moving over to the Les Habitants, all right? The Montreal Canadiens. Yeah, 2 things to note here. Mike Matheson, the professor.
After evaluating millions of pieces of data in the blink of an eye.
Is a dang stud. Enough said. And should we be looking at Yurov Slavkovsky? Do we have to actually look at this player? Nate and I, again, in our mailbag show, we had questions from 18 Skaters over on Twitter at 18 Skaters. His name's Mark Barber. This guy's a legend, amazing fantasy player, analytics guru. I get a lot of information from this guy. So shout out to you, my man. But he was asking us a question in that mailbag about Yurov Slavkovsky, saying, what do we think about this guy? And both Nate and I, definitely poured water on that. And we're not interested in any capacity. And so, of course, in the next game, this guy goes out and pots 2 goals in 17 minutes, right? So I thought I'd dig a little deeper into Slavkovsky. We did as well with Nate, but you know, he's top line, top power play first off. 17 minutes is nice. And in this game here, 3 shots on goal, 5 attempts, and 4 chances with 1 high danger chance. That's pretty good, right? This is a young kid. So I think the sky's the limit for Slafkovský. He was a first overall pick. And, you know, at some point they're going to start giving him the reins here or loosening the reins a little bit. And just having him in the top 6, top power play, that's a great spot for an offensive player like this. So, you know, I'm not rostering him anywhere and I don't plan on it, but I think you can absolutely have this guy in a team if you're looking for a Montreal player, and he's getting good opportunities. So there you go. I don't know. And if, you know, is Mark Barber, he's a bit of a seer. So I don't know. Maybe we need to get on it. Just do what Mark does. All right.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Let's move on. Quickly talk about Sam Montembeau the third. All right. Whenever I hear Montembeau, it reminds me of like some socialite from like the 1940s or something. I don't even know where I'm going with this. digressing. Montembeau is still a 0G option here. He's the goalie to own in Montreal, if there is such a thing. So definitely take a look there. I don't have any issue streaming in Montembeau, you know, if the Canadians have a good schedule. And then we are almost done. This is the last game here, folks. The Edmonton Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights. The streak is over for the Edmonton Oilers. It's an amazing win streak they had. All is right in the world now. It was Aiden Hill. He was the main catalyst here, the streak breaker, as he just played out of his head tonight. And then, you know, digging into this game here, you know, they did win 3-1. William Karlsson got an empty net goal there to finish it off. But nothing really of note on the Vegas side besides that Alec Martinez is still rocking that power play one. Will Karlsson got back and played 19 minutes as well. So he's definitely a viable streamer for the Knights. He got a goal as well. So I don't know, whatever. He's just having that 1 year every 6 or 7 years where he just goes on a shooting percentage bender. And he's doing it again this season. So yeah, definitely a viable streamer if you're looking for a Vegas player. Over to the Oilers. Again, you know, their main guys did what they do. They just couldn't solve Hill tonight. But what's going on with Evan Bouchard? That's really kind of an interesting piece. He's been struggling lately. Last 5 games for Evan Bouchard, only 1 assist. He's still getting amazing deployment, you know, 22 and a half minutes average time on ice. But, you know, amongst defensemen, 174th overall in shots on goal per 60. That's putrid. 132nd overall in shot attempts, and then 149th in individual scoring chances for. That's garbage, right? That's not good enough. Especially considering on the season, this guy's 11th overall in shots on goal per 60. He's 23rd overall in shot attempts per 60, and he's 33rd overall in individual scoring chances per 60. So maybe something's going on with Bouchard. I'm not exactly sure. Might be battling an injury. I mean, in tonight's game here, he didn't get a shot in over 25 minutes of ice time, right? So, you know, my concern level, I'm probably at about a 3 right now out of 10. Still, this guy's on a 77-point pace, and I think there's room for more, right? And he's a buy low at this point, but I don't quite know what's going on. Like, he's getting deployment. He's getting all the opportunity, right? Like, elite opportunity, and he's still, like, not 1 shot in 25 minutes. That's concerning, right? So, that said, I think, you know, like I said, he's a buy low. He could definitely help someone for their playoff run here. Oilers have a great schedule from weeks 23 onwards with lots of games and lots of off nights. As Nate and I talked on in our mailbag episode as well, Evander Kane.
Hens love roosters, geese love ganders.
He's also a good target and one you might be actually able to get. He's getting top 6 deployment. Didn't do too much in this game here, but yeah. That's it. That's how we get from A to B. That's your recap there. I wanted to finish up here with some must-add players that you should definitely own, I think, and I'll give you a little spiel on each player. But the first one, you know, we've talked about some of these, but Brian Rust. 41% rostered, top 6, power play 1, crazy deployment and metrics to boot. 41% is too low. You need to go out and add Brian Rust. Guarantee he's better than the worst couple players on your roster currently, all right? Next player I want to talk about, Victor Arvidsson.
See you at the party, Richter.
He's 38% rostered, and he's traveling with the team, and he might be able to get into game action next week, right? So when he does return, I think he's going to slide into a middle 6 role, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, where he lines up, obviously I'd like to see, you know, more deployment is better. That's great analysis right there, but One thing where Arvidsson really shines is how efficient he is as a power play performer, right? So let's take a look at some of his numbers on the power play. Even last season, this guy popped for 25 power play points, including 10 goals. He was on power play two for most of the year. He only averaged 2 minutes and 15 seconds power play time on ice last season, yet was able to go for 25 points. That's huge. He had 59 points, a 63-point pace last season. So, and he continued it on into the playoffs. He was really a difference maker in the playoffs there for the Kings. So that said, I could see the Kings keeping their second line intact currently. Right now it's Kevin Fiala, Trevor Moore, and Philip Deneau. That was where Fiala is. That's where Arvidsson's line, that's where he lined up last season. So, you know, I could also see them slotting Arvidsson back up there and bumping Fiala down to the PLD line. But we'll see what happens there. Either way, Arvidsson is going to get power play deployment, and I think he could pace for 55 to 60 points, and his floor is solid, right? And if somehow he does get priority, maybe they bump him up to the top line. They bump Quentin Byfield off. You know, I'm not saying they will, but like if he gets anything like that, now we're looking at a 70-point player. I think it's absolutely worth the risk, especially if you can add directly to your IR. I've done that with Arvidsson in two spots. Just added him to my IR and just see what happens, right? No big deal, all right? Zero risk. Potential reward there as well. So in that same vein, I think Barrett Hayton is an add as well. Similar to Arvidsson, this guy should walk back into top line, top power play deployment. Definitely had a rough start to the season. Wasn't able to get going here. Started out with, you know, no points, but really low production, but great metrics. Then the metrics fell off. And then it was a little bit rough for this player, but I think he's due for positive regression. I think, again, this is a flyer pick, and I'd rather be the one picking him up and then dropping instead of the person who missed out on him. And I do got to shout out Zach on Five Hole. He just said something similar to that in their last podcast over at Five Hole. So I want to give him the credit, although I do believe that too. So kudos to you, Zach, you legend. Barrett Hayton, yeah. He had 18 points in the final 20 games last season, and I could see something similar this year as well. Just go at them, right? They got a great schedule next week. Arizona plays four games, all four on the off nights. It's really going to make a difference next week, those off nights, because it's the heavy nights are crazy heavy and the light nights are like two games or three games, right? So go at them for next week. We can assess after that, all right? Must add player at this point, my two cents. Next one I want to talk about, Wyatt Johnston. You know, we already talked a little on him. Again, top line deployment, power play two, right? With the unit that's actually cooking right now, he has access to that amazing offensive dynamo, Matt Duchene. Yes, on power play two, right? So Wyatt Johnston, as long as he's getting line one deployment, I'm riding till the wheels fall off. That's how we do. But again, great player. Dallas is a good team. I think you could do a lot worse than Wyatt Johnston. So go pick him up. And then lastly, Dylan Cousins. We talked about him as well. Great streak, solid metrics and deployment. He's closing out games, you know, getting prioritized over guys like Jeff Skinner and Tage Thompson, right? So he also seems healthy finally here as well for the Sabres. And as we mentioned, they have that great schedule for playoffs if you are in weeks 23 to 25. So go get some Dylan Cousins. But that's it, everybody. This is, I just wanted to pump out a quick little episode here. That cream of the crop. But, you know, hopefully you've really been enjoying this content. I enjoyed the All-Star break in the way that I didn't watch a damn thing. I basically just shut my TV off. I wasn't really checking my Twitter and stuff in terms of any hockey news. So it was a nice little refresher. And here we go, though. This is crunch time. This is where please do reach out to me on Twitter. Reach out to me on Didit. Reach out to me on the Discord. If I can help in any way, let me know, because I'm going to be ramping up my just assistance to you all, to you folks, because it, like I said, and I'm not even being cheesy, your victories are my victories. Something that would give me great joy is if at the end of the season, I'm talking to a bunch of people that won their leagues because of what we do here at Apples and Genos. That's why we're doing what we do here. So I'm not even being cheesy. I'm being real with you. And that just gives me a lot of joy. And I'm getting excited just thinking about it, talking to you all. And hopefully I can, you know, be some small part of that. So I love fantasy hockey. I love this stuff. What the hell is wrong with me? Oh, my God. Try telling people that you have a fantasy hockey podcast and watch their eyes just glaze over. And then they start to leave, but they're still making eye contact with you. And then you kind of have to be like, well, and then they take off. I don't know. don't know, I'm digressing, but I love this stuff. So let me know if I can help in any way. Nate is there as well. Joshy is there as well. But that's it, everybody. That's the show. You know, stay tuned. We got a Rolling Lines coming up in the next couple days, and Nate and I are getting back to biz this weekend. But if you have any questions, reach out. But until then, celebrate your day. Bye for now.